This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And boy, do we have a big episode for you today. Kemba Walker is now with the Oklahoma City Thunder. We traded away Al Horford, which is not a surprise. He went to the Celtics. And Moses Brown. We're sad to see both of those guys go, but we are pumped up to get Kemba Walker on the team. And the icing on the cake is the first round pick from the Boston Celtics. Dave, tell me again, where is that pick?
Yeah, man. Before I say where that pick is, I just want to say when we brought this draft idea up with the Celtics, I felt like there was no way for us to get a first round pick from them unless we gave them one of our young talents. I didn't realize that would be Moses Brown, but the reality is that that's all we had to give up for this first round pick, which is at number 16. So now we hold 16 and 18 in the draft. That's perfect for either a draft moving up, or we're going to discuss who we think is going to be on this team very, very shortly and see if we have spots for all three of the first round draft picks that are above 20 right now.
Yeah, man, it's really exciting. To talk about the idea of having Kemba Walker on the team. I don't know if that will actually come to fruition, and that's something we want to talk about a lot today. Is Kemba Walker going to be with us in the foreseeable future, or will we trade him maybe at the draft or in the upcoming months before the season? The question is, will Kemba Walker ever play for the Oklahoma City Thunder? What do you think, Dave?
Man, I broke it down today, and I really wanted to try to figure this out. And the thing I kept on going back to is the amount of money that he is owed over the next 3 years. Yes, he has a team option after two. But the reality is that this is where I feel like this is a perfect situation for this Oklahoma City Thunder team. Look who we have on this team so far right now. Guaranteed contracts that we don't have the ability to cut and that we're going to keep. We have Gabriel Deck, Ty, Theo, Kenny, Roby, Poku, SGA, Dort, Bazley, and then we have some question marks right now. We have question marks on Hall. Where's Hall going to be at? Charlie Brown Jr. and Kemba. Mark and I both agree that we feel like Kemba is going to be on this team, no doubt, because he can maximize his contract at the very end of the contract when he only has 1 year left, and there's a team that's really pushing to compete. That could be us. We decide to keep Kemba at the end of his contract. It could be a different team, and we're just not having the luck right there. We need to reset on getting rid of Kemba and getting a younger player. There is a lot of possibilities, Mark, but man, where do you feel like would be an area that we can start looking at as we start breaking down what teams Kemba could go to?
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea of Kemba playing for the Thunder for me at first was an automatic no. I thought, well, we have Théo Maledon and, you know, SGA. We don't really need another point guard. In fact, that'll kind of create a logjam and maybe even slow down the development of one of our young players. But as I thought about it, I don't think that Kemba is tradable right now. I think that they really have to be looking at this as a keeper. Now, the reason that I really have come to that, like you said, is the money. But also, a lot of the teams that would traditionally be looking for a point guard either have a young point guard that they think is their point guard of the future, or they just don't have that type of flexibility either with the cap or, you know, with personnel. That's a big problem too. So that's what we're looking at right now. What teams out there could even make a trade like this, or what teams could even possibly want to make a trade like this? Obviously, with the draft coming up, I think Kemba will be in discussions. The question is, who will be willing to pay the price that Sam Presti is asking? And we can look at the past, the recent past, especially the Al Horford deal around the trade deadline, and how nothing came up. Al Horford ended up sitting out. And the reason nothing came up was because Sam Presti was asking for too much, is what everybody felt like. Well, now he got even more than what he was asking for at the trade deadline. I don't know that for sure, but it sure seems like he probably wasn't asking for, you know, a combination of what we got, which was a pick and a player that really can help out a lot of teams. But let's look at the Al Horford deal, right? When he came to play with us, he had 2.5 years left on that deal. And we knew if we absorbed 1 year of, you know, his pay, then there would be teams that would be willing to take him. And here we are. Now, Kemba has 3 years left on his deal. So we're looking at it and thinking, you know, this is going to be a situation where we really believe we need to get through a year and a half of his contract before he's going to be worth the type of combination, the type of package that Sam Presti would want to take. I do think he would take that type of package right now, but I don't think he would take a whole lot less simply to get Kemba off the team, get him off the books. We have no rush. Can Kemba play with SGA? I think that would be a great combination. I think that would fit tremendously on the basketball court, and that's something I want to talk about a lot. But as far as like the business side of things, where would Kemba possibly fit in, and what other teams could he fit in? So let's start out with the West. What teams do you think that he could fit out? What teams do you think that Kemba Walker could fit in the Western Conference?
Man, as I keep on going through the entire list of teams that is in front of me, there's very few teams in the Western Conference that I actually would could see them him going to, or even being willing to give up the type of haul that we would expect to return here. Obviously, you're going to hear rumbles about Golden State coming up here because they own draft picks, a lot of them, you know, two draft picks that are in the lottery this year. You're going to hear stories of stuff like that. But I really want to focus on a few teams in the West here. Let's start with the Pelicans, Mark. I feel like there's an opportunity here with a sign and trade that they're going to have to do with LaMelo Ball. It could be one of those positions that they don't want to pay him as much money as he's going to demand. And it's going to be, you know, $28, $29, $30 million. And they might see more value in getting a player like Kemba. To me, this would be a very interesting trade for us, getting in a very young asset that can play point guard position and that doesn't demand the ball to shoot a lot. Yes, he can knock down, and he proved it this year, shooting nearly 40% from three-point range, that he can continue to shoot in the NBA, but he doesn't demand the ball. So obviously that is something that I would look at and say that would be an interesting fit for us and possibly the Pelicans. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, obviously you're talking about Lonzo Ball, not LaMelo, but either way, I think we know when you said Pelicans who you're talking about, and I don't think LaMelo is up for trading by anybody. So either way, we're good, man. Lonzo Ball, that would be an interesting situation. I definitely would be excited about, you know, starting the Ball dynasty here in Oklahoma City. That would be pretty fucking funny. But yeah, I mean, that's a good suggestion. I think that they could use a point guard. They have a couple already, but you know, I think that they probably aren't necessarily satisfied after the trade with Drew Holiday, with what they got back and how they're handling that. It'll be interesting to see if they include themselves in the discussion. What other teams do you think might be willing to make that trade?
Man, I'm going to stay in the same division, and we're going to talk about the Dallas Mavericks. It's always interesting to say is that, you know, with Porzingis not playing as well as he could have, there's always one of those positions to look at that they could be looking at trying to speed up the ball here, speed up the pace, always look for somebody like Dan Antoni coming back and coaching for the Mavs. It would be interesting to see a fast-paced two players that could really score on a team like that. Obviously, I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, and that's one of the maybe teams that I have highlighted, but the reality is that any team that has a $30-plus million contract that are kind of scared about the future, what it's going to be for that player, is going to be interested in the opportunity of putting a player like Kemba next to one of their players. Dallas Mavericks, I don't think, are a team that are going to look at making this trade, but if they feel like Porzingis is worthless, they could flip us a draft pick and Porzingis. We get that age down a little bit more, giving us a legit power forward to play with there.
Yeah, that would be a very interesting trade. You know, Porzingis for Kemba. Obviously, the Mavericks would have to throw in a couple of picks down the road. I don't know how that would work from the basketball side of having Kemba and Luka next to each other all the time. But hey, I mean, if the Mavericks are desperate, it seems like the perfect type of Hail Mary that you know, you might throw if you're trying to do anything to get away from the Porzingis contract. So yeah, I think that's a really interesting suggestion. What else you got, man?
Man, I want to throw this out before we go any further, is that a lot of people are wondering, why in the world would Sam Presti and the Boston Celtics make this trade before the ping pongs happen, before the even getting closer to the draft? Why did it have to happen now? Well, I think there's a direct correlation that Sam wanted to make sure that things were in order going into the draft, whether we have the 1 and 5 pick, or 1 and 7, or 7 and 6, or whatever it ends up being. Like, we are set and squared away, because if that happens, now we have 16 and 18. But the reality is that we need to really look at as what the guaranteed is right now, and that's 16 and 18, and whatever that 4, 6, 5, wherever that lands right there. And we got to also mention that there's other teams here that could benefit from him. There's the Timberwolves. I think that is a team that is desperate to try to win right now. Kemba would be a step up right now from Russell, and he's a little bit older, more mature. He can run the offense, maybe even make a better teammate for the rest of the guys that are there. To me, this would be an interesting thing, because if the Timberwolves get a draft pick in the top 5, that would be a pretty much no-brainer right there if we were able to score a top 5 pick to make this trade right there happen. Yes, they would have to make some other guys switch over the money-wise, but we can make that work. I've looked at the Timberwolves. They have about $32, $35 million that would be easily moved over on contracts. So the point is, this is a possibility, and it's something that you would have to look at in a team in the West.
Yeah, I think that's something that I wouldn't want to happen for Kemba. You know, I think that would be going into a clusterfuck situation. I don't know how much of a difference he'd be able to make, and they'd probably, you know, blame him for fucking it up when it's already fucked up. Let's face it, he was the fall guy for the Celtics, and that's not even appropriate. They've got other problems, but sure, if they want to blame Kemba and trade him to us and we can rehab his image, then sure, I'm good with that.
All right, man. I've got the Kings next. Obviously, that would have to be an interesting situation, because we're going to be competing with the Kings for the next couple of years. They've got some young, talented players. Would we do this? It would have to be the right case scenario, us getting back a draft pick there from them that I think they're sitting at like 7, 8, or 9, wherever they're at. That would have to be coming back, and obviously they would be looking at getting like a 16 or an 18 in return. But there is enough draft young players that they have on their team that I would say, yeah, I would take that player as well as these draft picks. So you look at the Sacramento Kings as being the possibility. And the last team, Mark, I want to bring up from the West is Denver. Denver could be in dire need to try to find a point guard until Murray is back playing for them. And if they strike out on the offseason as far as free agents go, you know that they're going to be looking. They have some money that they can move around. It's not necessarily something that I would spend a lot of time geeking out on, but Denver would be a possibility from the West, Mark.
I think both of those teams kind of prove our point about the West, which is there's not a lot of teams that need a point guard. Both of those teams have a point guard, but they are in need of a player maybe that could help them for a short time or could fill a role. And what are teams willing to give up for a player like that? You know, usually a second round pick, sometimes a late first round pick, but that's not anything near the type of package that we'd be looking at. Obviously, if they threw in a young player, combination of picks, or a veteran that we could rehab their image, then yeah, we might look at that and say that's an extension of what we've been doing. But there's really been this pattern where we took, really, you know, if you go back to Enes Kanter, right? We turned Enes Kanter into Carmelo Anthony, and Carmelo Anthony into Dennis Schroeder, and Dennis Schroeder into Danny Green, Danny Green into Al Horford, Al Horford into Kemba Walker. And all along, we've been collecting picks to go with most of these deals. So you look at it, and I don't see us suddenly being like, oh, we have Kemba Walker, now we're going to stop doing this pattern. Now we have a player that is a former All-Star. He has the ability to potentially return to that level of play. Al Horford, people were saying he was no good anymore, and now look at him. So it's really about being in the right situation. And for whatever reason, Boston was not the right situation. I blame it on Danny Ainge. I think he made a lot of mistakes. He made a lot of good decisions. It's one of those situations where you put yourself in an awesome position and then you don't come through. You know, people blame you for not succeeding, but you also put yourself in a great position. But I think Danny Ainge made a couple of mistakes when it came to, you know, trying to get an all-star point guard. Kyrie was a mistake, and he tried to cover up that mistake by bringing in Kemba. And that, you know, only compounded the issue. So I think, like I said, those two teams, to me, the Kings and the Nuggets, are neither team would really be willing to give up the type of haul that we would want, because they don't really have a need at point guard except for a short-term fit. So that proves your point. You know, in the end, the West really isn't, you know, a tradable situation for Kemba with the teams in the positions that they're at and with his contract in the position it's at.
Yeah, and so next thing I want to look at is a team that showed interest with him in the offseason that he was a free agent, or the time he used, short time he was a free agent at least. That was the Miami Heat. I feel like they're always a possibility of trying to snatch up a player that knows how to play the style of basketball that fits that Jimmy Butler mode. They got a taste of the finals, and you know that they want to go back, and really missing a point guard, a true point guard, is something that they're missing. So I would have to circle the Heat as saying a possibility. They seem to not have a draft pick this year in the first round, which seems strange. Oh, wait, that's because we have their draft pick. So thank you, Miami, and fuck you very much. But the reality is there's always that possibility.
Yeah, all they'd have to do is remove some of those protections on those first round picks that we have coming up, which, you know, I'm sure we could get Pat Riley to do, except Pat Riley doesn't believe in Kemba Walker. And the only way you remove pick protections like what we have there and what we've been trying to get removed is if you really believe in the player. He didn't believe in Chris Paul enough to do that. He's not going to believe in Kemba Walker enough to do that. So this just goes down to, yes, from a basketball perspective, 100%. They need a point guard. They could use someone that could really help that team out, probably looking in a younger direction, but they could definitely use somebody. But Pat Riley is far too savvy to ever make a deal like this with Sam Presti. Sam Presti is maybe one time before Pat Riley is done, he's going to really get Pat Riley. But at this point, like, they both know exactly what they want to do, and they know what they're not willing to give up, and they don't get really that close. They've negotiated in the media a little bit. They've had some flirting with each other, but they have not even got close to consummating a deal.
Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see really where everything ends up folding out for them. To me, there's a couple teams that are really interested to me. I circle and I have to scratch my head. Is this a possibility? And one of those teams that I look at is Chicago Bulls. I mean, here's the thing. Zach LaVine will be on his last year of his contract. There is a possibility that Zach LaVine says, I'm done. I'm not coming back here to Chicago. He has $19.5 million this last year. Obviously, Kemba has his $34 or $36 million. They could decide to trade because Kemba is on a longer contract. Obviously, LaVine fits our timeline. He's that 26-year-old guy. He would be one of the oldest guys on our team already. I mean, to me, that would be one of those really awesome, interesting things, having a player like Zach to be on this team. But the reality is that there would have to be a lot of unhappiness in Chicago, and they would have to be desperate to add the type of money like Kemba is going to be, is that $36 million.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there is a lot of unhappiness in Chicago, but I don't see them being willing to make this trade, because to me, the idea of trading a 26-year-old point guard for a 32-year-old point guard, and the 32-year-old point guard probably won't ever get to the level, you know, I shouldn't say probably, he won't ever get to the level that Zach LaVine is at right now again. It's just, that's a give up. So I do think that they could be in need of a point guard, and if Zach LaVine puts pressure on them, that could be a deal that they make. But that's not a deal that they would go out there looking to make. That would be something that they would be put in a bad position and they would have to make.
Yeah, man. And, you know, again, this is all it is possibilities of places that he could fit. The next team is the Cleveland Cavaliers, and even facilitating in a third team here where the Cavaliers need another team to take on some salary cap, as well as getting another player that can bring draft picks to them, similar to what Sam Presti is doing. You know, that would be involving Kevin Love. I don't necessarily think that this is something that would be a surefire thing, but I do think that Kemba is a more effective player than Kevin for a Cleveland team that's really trying to get healthy and try to do something new. They have the draft picks that they need to be successful for the next few years, and Kemba would give them a jump start to being a better team in the East, whereas Kevin Love is only going to play every few games. He could be more effective for us playing in the center position this year when we play small ball. But the reality is that, again, another team that probably will not do a trade like that.
Yeah, and mostly the reasoning behind that would be because they are almost, you know, trying to lose right now by playing their young players. They've got Sexton, they've got Garland, and I don't think they need Kemba to come in there and, you know, make it a messy threesome.
Yeah, man, and let's just bring up the last team I want to bring up. Now, I'm only bringing them up is because I've heard some rumbles that there is a superstar that is unhappy there, that wants out. And here's the reality is any team that you hear rumbles like that, you have to automatically put the Oklahoma City Thunder in there in conversation, because Kemba isn't necessarily a superstar, but he is a great, you know, one or 1B, 1C, even 2A scoring possibility. He knows how to dish the ball. He knows how to do all those things. So really, when I bring up this next team is don't laugh me off the table. But what if like a James Harden was really unhappy and KD's like, get him the fuck out of here. Like, Kemba would be one of those guys that you would have to be okay with getting in return for a player like James.
Yeah, man. I can't do it, dude. There's no way I can do it, dude. There's no way, bro. There's no way, dude.
You're not going to drink the Kool-Aid, man. No, not enough for you.
No, okay. Man. I mean, not honestly, temptation honestly, there. If Harden's injury is so bad that he has to have that leg amputated, he still wouldn't go back to Oklahoma City.
All right, man. All right. Well, you know, honestly, looking at all the rest of the teams, it just doesn't make sense this year. But if we broke it down for next year, there is a lot more possibilities of places that he could go. Obviously, people are going to keep on bringing up the Lakers in this trade thing. The people that are uneducated are going to bring up the Lakers. And I want to put this up and why it's uneducated is, first of all, is Chris Paul has recently came out saying that he wants a $100 million four-year contract. All right, think about this. $100 million four-year contract. Very few teams have that cap space. One of the teams that have that cap space is the Los Angeles Lakers. So why in the world would they go out and get somebody like Kemba at $36 million and get somebody like Chris Paul at $25 million as a free agent? So this is a no-brainer to me. Obviously, if you're talking about the Lakers wanting Kemba, you just don't understand the situation the gravity is at here. Obviously, Chris Paul is going to have multiple teams offering that $100 million. But there's only one team that he truly wants to go play with, and it's all about the banana, man. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pressure right now on the Lakers, on LeBron, on Rob Pelinka, on Jenny Buss, on the entire organization. The Clippers just made it to the conference finals. That's right. The Clippers made it to the conference finals, and the Lakers were eliminated in the first round. Think about that. That's a lot of pressure on them. And I just want to say this before we move on, but that was a hell of a game that the Clippers, you know, eliminated the Jazz with. Donovan Mitchell had an outstanding game. Terrence Mann had 39 points. Paul George played fucking unbelievable. And Reggie Jackson, holy shit, dude. I got to love that guy, man. I know a lot of people don't like him in Oklahoma City. There are times where I struggled with some of his stuff, too. But I remember, you know, when he was with us and he was playing good and everything was good that first year, that I really noticed him. It seems like he's back to playing with the love of the game that he used to play with back then. And that's really great to see. So I'm happy for all them. But the point, back to the point, just with the Lakers, they've got this pressure to find their way back into relevancy, right? And if Rob Pelinka sat down with Jenny Buss and LeBron James and, you know, all the brain trusts, and they're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's our big move. We're going to bring in Kemba Walker. You know, I think they would probably laugh him off the table. I think they'd say, get the fuck out of here. You know, we have flexibility. We need to make a couple of decisions. And if you're going to use all of our flexibility with Kemba Walker, not that Kemba Walker wouldn't be a good player for them, but Kemba Walker with $90 million left on his contract, that's all the flexibility that they'd have. So, no, that's not going to happen. I think it just continues to underscore the point that we don't make a trade like this for Kemba Walker unless we are okay with keeping Kemba Walker. Because there's a real possibility that other teams won't be willing to put up what we need to make it worth it. And we're not going to let Kemba Walker go for nothing. Look at what we did with Chris Paul. Look at what we did with Al Horford. We're going to do it again with Kemba. The question is, how long will it take for him to rehab his image where teams are willing to pay him that much money? And also, the money has to come off the books. I'm thinking, honestly, I think it's going to take more than 1 year. I don't think it will take a full 2 years. I think he could be like a trade deadline deal the start of his second year, because teams will be able to say, similar to Al Horford, well, there's only a year and a half guaranteed left on this deal. But with 2 years guaranteed of that money, I don't think that Sam Presti will get the value he will require. And the reason he requires it is because we're a small market team, and you cannot let players at this caliber go through your hands and get nothing in return, or you will be in purgatory. So from here, we have to figure out how to make Kemba happy. And I have a feeling that that doesn't mean bringing him off the bench.
Yeah, man. And that's always a possibility. Obviously, to me, he is one of those players that takes a lot of pride in the game. So I think he'll always be a prideful guy in that matter. But I want to say this. If I'm Kemba, I'm excited. And this is why. If you're a basketball geek and you're somebody that really, truly understands the game, you know the one thing that all these teams that are left in the game right now, on the six teams that are still competing in the playoffs right now, they all made deals with Oklahoma City in the offseason or have former players that play for them and are major impactful players. That's James Harden and KD for Brooklyn. You have Chris Paul for the Suns, Nader for the Suns. You have George Hill for the 76ers. You have Milwaukee Bucks. We facilitated a trade with them, getting them the player that they needed this offseason. The Atlanta Hawks, we got them Gallo, man. Like, this is huge. Looking at this, if I was a player that was looking at revitalizing my career, giving it a little jumpstart, giving a little, I need to get going again, Oklahoma City Thunder is the perfect organization to do that, because when they're done with the players and the players have decided to move on and ready to go play on a different team, they are sending them places that they can be the most successful at. That is exciting. This is really, really cool. Watching the Clippers have players that have played for us starting early in their career, watching them have players that played, you know, George Paul. This is exciting, man. This is exactly what we like to see. This is going to be a Western Conference playoff game of players that have played for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the same thing is going to be in the East, regardless of who's in the East. This is fun. This is exciting. And this is why you want to go to the Oklahoma City Thunder if you're trying to give your career a jump start.
Yeah. And Chris Paul definitely was able to do that. Paul George was definitely able to do that. So I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure which one you were talking about when you said George Paul, but I'm it's one of those guys.
George Hill and Paul George, my bad.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
But, I mean, again, that's just to me looking at this and realizing where everything is at for this next year. We don't know if we're looking at a team saying they're not interested in a point guard, what the reality is. We just don't know. Like, we don't know if KD and Kemba have a really close relationship and they want to play on the same team, and this is part of the whole movement of getting them there. Obviously, one thing that we always bring up is the connection that he has with the New York Knicks as the Bronx. The Knicks have a ton of money, and if they miss out on everything off this offseason. They may be desperate to make a move. And obviously, we'll take anything the Knicks will give us in the aspect of if you look at their young, talented players, they have Mitchell Robinson is a young, talented player that if Sam Presti had the option, I'm sure he would want to take in return. So there's just a lot of really good ideas and possibilities with all these teams. But to me, I feel like Mark and I are right by saying that unless a team is going to pay a king's ransom for Kemba, that he's going to be with the Oklahoma City Thunder for at least 1 year, if not further than that, depending on his contract and how he is able to help us compete next year. Because if we're a top four team with Kemba in the West, there's no doubt that we're going to try to bring him back or at least be able to up his value enough to be able to get a major asset in return.
Yeah, and we want to spend more time talking about what that would look like on the court with Kemba Walker playing alongside SGA and the other guys. So we're going to do that tomorrow. We're going to talk a lot about what that will look like and how that could work out, because obviously we're both leaning heavily toward the idea that Kemba will be on this team. Not that he isn't available, just that teams aren't going to be willing to pay the price that Sam Presti will require. And with that said, that's where we'll leave it. We'll come back tomorrow and we'll get back into talking more about the draft as that gets closer. Obviously, the ping pong balls are coming up really soon. That's going to be in a couple days. But with this happening today, this is absolutely amazing. It's a lot of fun to see Sam Presti's vision, you know, coming to fruition. We talk about it all the time. He has like a combination that he likes to put together with players and veterans and young players and picks and everything. And he really finds a way to consistently build really, really good teams. And this is just another part of that. So we're pumped up about being here and talking about that. And we appreciate you joining us. We appreciate you telling your friends, and we'll be back tomorrow with even more talk about Kemba Walker. So thanks again for joining us, and this is just a reminder that this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.